sofas and firmnesses. 25% off on sofa sleepers, too, at Carson, Peary, Scott & Company.
Hello, this is the Sportsman's Case, WBBM's outdoor sports report. What basically is the difference between the type of hitches that we're going to use, other than the fact that it's bolted to the frame?
Well, your three classes of hitches are your Class A, which of chrome,
Bob Troy, a few of the facts about trailer hitches and why you should be extremely careful in selecting the proper hitch for the kind of load you're going to be pulling. Enjoy the great outdoors. I'm John T. Case.
Tonight's weather, fair and cold, lows from 10 near the lake to 0 to 5 above in the suburbs. Sunny tomorrow with a high in the low 20s, down to the 10 to 15 degree range on Tuesday night, and then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 20s. At Midway Airport now, 12 degrees, 13 at O'Hare Field, 15 on the lakefront. The humidity's 53% and the wind chill index is 15 below zero.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
It's 10:30. Do you know where your children are?
Is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready, and ready to offer savers the kind of services you can get with the Northwest Card, a special feature available to savers who maintain a $500 balance. And here's what you get: traveler's checks, gift checks, registered checks, all with no service charge. Need document Xeroxing or lamination? It's free with the Northwest Card. There's a special quick check cashing ID card with your picture. Even special vacations for Northwest Card members. Get a world of services you need often by getting a Northwest Card at any of five convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland's great Northwest Territory. Be part of a special group and be a special person at Northwest Federal anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The boundaries which divide life from death, said Edgar Allan Poe, are at best shadowy and vague. And who shall say where the one ends and the other begins? Who indeed? Certainly not Mr. Poe when he wrote those sentiments over 100 years ago. And how curiously modern they seem today. Where does life and death begin? And who is to judge?
What makes you so sure of yourself, sir?
I know what I believe. I know how I was raised. I know my attitude toward life.
Is that so? And do you consider yourself a moral, upright, honest man?
With all modesty, I would say yes.
Well, I've only known you for these past few minutes, but I'll make a bet that I could make you cheat on your wife, steal from your boss, and even commit murder during the next 48 hours.
Our mystery drama, A Casual Affair, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by General Electric and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
Dedicated to the free spirit, just about everyone.
Dubai. Dubai, is the title of the super-powered new novel by Robin Moore, author of The French Connection. Dubai, a Middle East country where an ambitious American makes the hottest deal of his life, involving oil and smuggler's gold. Then he finds that in Dubai, life is cheap and no price is too high for pleasure. Read Dubai, Robin Moore's fast-moving new bestseller, a Bantam book where paperbacks are sold.
Do you realize you're slowly becoming part of the fastest-growing minority in this country?
What?
Would you mind standing up for a minute?
Huh? Hey, where are you going with my rocker?
Are you willing to take old age sitting down?
Sitting?
You are going to be old someday, and you're going to have to face the same problems older people face today.
What is this, some kind of joke?
If you think it's funny now, wait a few years.
I don't understand.
The older you get, the fewer opportunities you'll have. You might even be deprived of your ability to make your own decisions.
What can I do about it?
Change your attitudes about aging. Try and imagine what you'll want to do, what you'll want to contribute.
All right, but you didn't have to take my rocking chair to prove your point, did you?
You have to get off your rocker and stand up. Stand up, or be prepared to sit back and rock your life away.
Ah, I see what you mean.
This message has been brought to you as a public service by this station, the Advertising Council, and the National Council on the Aging.
Thank you.
The traveling salesman used to be very much a part of the folklore of America. The traveling salesman, or drummer, as he was also called, was usually brash, gaudy, outrageous in speech and manner. Well, times and types change. Today you have men who travel for their companies who are the very models of conservatism. They wear quiet but expensive clothes. They stop at the best hotels and dine in the most exclusive restaurants. One thing hasn't changed very much, though. It's a lonely job. The nights are too long, almost endless. Richard Pomeroy is 1,000 miles from home. He's waiting to dine alone, sitting at the bar until he will be shown to a table. Sitting next to him is a rather attractive woman of about 30. Richard is a man who doesn't play around, but it shouldn't be implied that he never thinks about it.
Very nice. I wonder if she's married. She's wearing a ring. But is it a wet? Nah, better not start anything. Start? I wouldn't know how to start. Some fellas, it just goes. They smile, say care for a drink, and they're home. If I try something like that, all right, the truth is I don't want to try it. I'm just not interested. I've never done anything like it in all the years I've been married. And I don't intend to start now.
Look, if you want to buy me a drink, buy me a drink.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, you've done enough soul searching. You've made all the normal objections.
Are you a mind reader?
I'll have a bourbon sour.
Bartender, another of the same here?
No, I'd say I'm a mouth reader.
A mouth reader?
Just watch a person's mouth. See how his lips narrow, become tight. He'll bite one of his lips when he's under stress. There are those who bite their upper lip and those who bite the lower. Which type are you?
I hadn't thought about it.
Well, everybody bites one or the other. You're an upper biter. I've been watching you.
I never knew that.
Upper biters form the minority. They're usually highly introspective people.
Yes, I have been called introspective.
Scientifically inclined.
So you know there might be something to it. I'm an engineer.
There you see, proves my theory's correct.
No, I don't work as an engineer exactly. I sell motors, but I have to troubleshoot for the entire corporation.
Upper biters are also very hard workers.
Yes, that describes me all right. My name is Richard Pomeroy.
And I'm Cressida Harlow.
Cressida?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a most unusual name. That's very pretty.
Are you,
Am I waiting for anyone? No. I'd love to have dinner with you.
Oh. Well, of course. Do you live here?
No, I'm traveling, just as you are.
Hey, what do you do?
What you do. I sell. Market research.
Must be a fascinating field.
It's a job. Do you really want to talk shop?
No, not really.
Are you married?
Yes.
That slight hesitation is if you weren't sure how you wanted to answer.
You're a very disconcerting woman.
Life is a disconcerting experience.
Are you married?
Divorced. Are you happily married?
Yes.
I see you had to stop to think again.
I wanted to be honest.
With whom? Me or yourself?
Right now I should run. Run from this place. Go to the airport and get on a plane. If there's nothing flying to Chicago at this hour, I should rent a car and drive through till morning. I am getting involved. I never met anyone like her in my life. I thought I did when I met Jeanette. She's what I hoped Jeanette would become, but never did. This gray-eyed woman, she's like a goddess. Something's happened between us. I know it, and she knows it. And we'll end this evening in my room or hers, and I will have started something I won't know how to finish. I should say goodbye right now. But why can't it just end with dinner and a pleasant good night? Who says it has to go further?
I would assume you're doing something for the first time.
Doing what?
Technically, what you've done is, you've picked me up at a bar.
Technically, I believe you spoke first.
But you intended to speak first. You just didn't know how. Which leads me to assume you have very little experience at this sort of thing.
Practically none.
You can thank woman's lib.
For what?
Well, in the ordinary way, I would never have had the courage to strike up a conversation in a bar with a strange man. But I've learned that it simply isn't right for the man to have all the options. If I see an attractive person, why shouldn't I say hello?
I agree.
It's a difficult life. Constantly traveling. Why not have pleasant company at dinner?
Dinner was wonderful. I'd never felt so happy, so excited, so filled with anticipation. She looked more lovely with every passing minute. And I realized it was no longer a question of should I, shouldn't I, but that we would just let things take their proper course. And they did. Our hands met and clasped across the table. And we looked deeply into each other's eyes. The moment had arrived. And the movement was automatic. We kissed. It was a light, brief brush of the lips. But it was a promise of what was to come. Of what had to be. The following morning, we had breakfast together at the hotel.
And where will you be going today?
Indianapolis. Indianapolis, Indiana.
Did you know that's the only major city in the United States that isn't on a river?
No. Oh, you have a wealth of knowledge.
Trivia. Do you know why, darling?
Tell me, darling.
Because till now I had nothing better to occupy my time. But now I have you.
Mm-hmm. And where are you going?
Chicago.
Richard, is this goodbye?
Do you want it to be?
Well, can you ask me that after last night?
When can we meet again?
Whenever you say.
But, darling.
Yes?
How?
How? We can meet whenever we want each other or need each other. All we have to do is board an airplane.
But, darling...
It's another way of looking at the world, Richard. You see, till now the traveling each of us does was a job. But now it's a joy and a deliverance. It enables us to come together.
But I don't see how we...
Meet me in San Francisco on Friday.
I have no reason to go.
Oh, yes, you have. I'm the reason. I'm sure there are motors which aren't functioning to your complete satisfaction in the San Francisco plant.
That's true. I'm never really satisfied with our manufacturing process.
Of course. And my company always has clients who need extra service.
Till Friday, darling.
Till Friday. Would you care for some eggs, Richard?
No, thank you, dear.
The Carlins have asked us to dinner.
Oh, that's good. I like George and Marie.
I know you do. Therefore, I accepted without consulting you.
Without consulting me?
Mm-hmm.
Really, Jeanette, you make it sound as if I'm your lord and master, without whose permission you are scarcely permitted to breathe.
Well, Richard, it's just that you travel so much.
I told you, you are in complete charge of social arrangements.
Very well. Dinner at 8.
Good.
Friday night.
We can't go.
What?
I'm sorry, Jeanette, really, I'll be out of town on Friday.
It's all right. The Carlins will understand. It's something everybody understands today. The demands of a man's job.
Yeah, Jeanette, darling, this trip is absolutely necessary.
I assume it is.
You see, the Q-series of motors, the ones that power the operating arm of... Whew. Oh, boy, I'm not supposed to talk about it.
I'm sure I couldn't hope to understand.
No. I'm not even supposed to say I'm working on something top secret either. Even that's top secret.
Richard.
Huh?
Richard, where will you be going Friday?
Where? San Francisco.
Do you suppose I could go with you?
You want to come with me?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I would think that you had a million things to do. That is, you usually have.
Why shouldn't I come to San Francisco with you?
Well, you'd be bored silly.
The truth is, I'm bored silly here at home. We could have so much fun in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going there to have fun. I'll be in meetings all day, and they usually run through dinner.
I understand, but we could have Saturday and Sunday. There's so much to do and to see.
The truth is, darling, we won't have Saturday and Sunday. See, the reason I'm going Friday is to watch the production line in operation, and that leaves me the weekend when the line is down to make whatever alterations that I feel.
Yes, I understand.
I'll be at it straight through. I'll be lucky to finish on Sunday night.
Oh.
And Monday, of course, I have to be at the office. So what kind of weekend would that be for you?
Well, another time.
Of course, another time. It was the first time I'd ever lied to Jeanette. I was sorry. Felt badly. As a matter of fact, I was still feeling badly at dinner Friday night in San Francisco with Cressida.
You have a guilty conscience.
Well, how did you know?
This is the first time for you again, isn't it?
Yes, how about you?
Me?
Weren't you married?
Oh, we grew tired of each other. It had to happen.
What do you mean?
Well, you change every day. If you're honest, you admit it. Most people don't. They try to hold on to what they were, what they had. So they harden into a mold. Be happy you're breaking out of yours, Richard.
I am not sure I follow that.
Oh, but you do. You and your wife. You're no longer the same people you were when you met and fell in love and married, are you?
No.
Then why do you try to hold on to it now? Live now. Love now. Make no promise you cannot keep.
Cressida, I promise you.
No. You love me now. It's enough.
I've never really lived for the moment.
But the moment is all there is.
I could never give you up.
Think, Richard. Didn't you once say something like that to the woman you married?
Yes, I may have. But this time I mean it. I could never give you up.
You never know, Richard, darling. The time may come when you can't wait to get rid of me.
Never.
Never is a long time, Richard.
And so it is. What kind of lady is this Cressida Harlow? This beautiful woman who only wants to be loved, who lives only to bring pleasure and delight, who asks nothing in return. That is, so far, it's too good to be true. But it's only Act One. Act Two may bring us another perspective.
It's time to play the Bob and Ray Radio Fun Game, 30 Seconds, Please. Our next contestant's already picked his subject from the rotating barrel. Would you read the word on that paper, sir?
It's a rebate.
All right, talk on rebates for 30 seconds.
Well, the only rebate I know is GE Rebate Days.
General Electric Rebate Days? Time out. Judges, can he? He can. Okay, time in.
GE Rebate Days. Till March 12th, GE will send rebates of $2, $3, or $5 to the purchases of GE digital clocks, Pro Pistol hair dryers, coffee makers, toaster ovens, smoke alarms, 57 items. The amount depends on the product purchased.
Well, you didn't talk a full 30 seconds.
I have more. $3 or $4 rebates on GE tape recorders with two-way power and $4 on all GE digital clock radios with snooze alarm and wake-to-music features. 27 models in all.
Time's up, sir, and you've done it. Congratulations. Tonight you leave by jet for Tierra del Fuego on your Bob and Ray one-way vacation trip.
Do I have to?
They said the streets were paved with gold. So they came to America by the millions. The Toyotas and Fiats. The Datsuns and Triumphs. The MGs and Renaults. But sometimes the road is rough. And when their mufflers go, they find that the doors to most repair shops are closed to them. Because they're foreign.
Yeah, we sell mufflers, but we don't sell your kind.
Funny little car. Where does your muffler go? In the glove compartment?
So to the foreign cars who came here seeking a better life, we at Midas Muffler have good news. Midas now gives foreign aid. Midas now installs mufflers on most foreign cars, and we do it with the same care and expertise you'd expect from a company that's been installing mufflers in America for 20 years. At Midas, we're specialists. We have to do a better job.
Buy your Valentine a Midas muffler, muffler and cap set for $4.95, and Midas will donate $1 to Easter Seals. You'll feel warm all over helping Easter Seals.
Here we have Mr. Richard Pomeroy, an engineer. We mention his profession because engineers are, as a group, serious, sober-minded fellows who weigh and measure and who deal in the sciences. A conservative group, to say the least. Mr. Pomeroy has been married for some 15 years to a very quiet lady, and suddenly he has strayed off the reservation. He has been absolutely knocked off his feet by a woman named Cressida Harlow.
The next several months passed as if in a dream. A dream of paradise. Each of us had jobs which allowed us unlimited, unquestioned travel. And we met once or twice a week all over the country. All over the world. My home was no longer my base of operations. It was merely a place where I had to make certain ritual visits. My true home was with Cressida. And then one morning, Jeanette looked at me.
Who is she, Richard?
Who is who?
The woman with whom you're having an affair. It isn't true.
What makes you say I'm having an affair?
You dress differently now, Richard. You're lighter, quicker on your feet. You seem happy.
But Jeanette...
I thought we'd built something these past 15 years.
Jeanette...
Something that would sustain us. But I suppose that I know I'm no longer young.
Jeanette.
Do you deny it?
Please, darling.
Do you want a divorce? I see. You're not that sure of her. What does she want, Richard? You make a very good living, but you don't have what could be considered real money. What does she want?
Has it ever occurred to you that she wants me?
Why?
Why? Why? Because I'm an exciting person.
No, Richard. Exciting, you're not. Serious, sober-minded, yes. But exciting? Definitely not.
Jeanette, I don't want to talk about this now.
She doesn't want to marry you. You're not all that rich. What does she want, Richard?
How could I hope to explain? There are free spirits in the world, and they come down to earth now and then. Cressida is one of them. And the last time she came down to earth, I'm talking figuratively now, you understand? She happened to light beside me. What does she want? She wants nothing. Nothing but the joy of the moment. How could I explain that to Jeanette? I didn't. I simply left for the office. But just thinking about Cressida made me want her. And so, as soon as I reached my desk, I picked up my phone and I dialed a number. And it rang. And it rang. And there was no answer. Funny, she had a service. I could always leave a message. I tried her at her office.
Caldwell and Carson.
Miss Cressida Harlow, please.
Miss Cressida Harlow is no longer with us.
I beg your pardon?
Miss Harlow is no longer with us.
But where is she?
Miss Harlow resigned last week.
She couldn't have. Where did she go?
Miss Harlow said she would send us an address where we could forward her messages. Would you care to leave your name?
No. I was stunned. Shocked. I couldn't imagine what had happened or why. How could she just disappear? I know she had said it would be over one day, but like this so abruptly? But before I could think it through, I became aware of a man standing next to my desk. How'd you get in here?
I walked in.
Who are you?
I think I better close the door.
What makes you think you can just barge in here?
Okay, let's get with it. Never mind how I got in here and what you think you can do about it. I want you to do me a favor.
Who are you?
You'll be going to Paris next week.
Who will be going to Paris?
You. You got to check out the motors in the French factory.
I refuse to hear another word. You have no right to be in here. We're engaged in government contracts. You can get a lot of trouble. I'm going to call a guard this minute.
Yeah, you do that. You call a guard, and I'll show him this picture.
What?
And then I'll show him this one. I see. You're not going to call a guard. That's very good thinking.
Where did you get those?
The guy who took these photos, isn't he just terrific? He calls it a pictorial essay. Here's you and this gorgeous dame sitting so cozy in this nightclub, and here are you, Romeo, leaning across the table to give her a great big kiss. End of Act One. Act Two takes place in the hotel.
Where did you get... How did you...
Go ahead. Tear them up. We have the negatives.
This is...
Words fail you, huh? Well, they should. Now, while you're trying to find the right ones, let me analyze the situation. You're being offered a job with my company. A part-time job. It won't interfere with your regular activities.
I refuse to...
Why do you interrupt? You're sitting there with a bust hand against four aces. Now, who are you trying to bluff? You see, Richard, we deliver things from a client in one country to a client in another. Jewels, drugs... drugs, for example, negotiable bonds. Begin to get the idea?
You can't come
and
in.
We need messengers, the kind of messenger that no customs officer, no cop, would ever dream to suspect.
I won't do it.
You won't, Richard?
What can you do? Show those pictures to my wife? Well, she already knows I'm having an affair, so do your worst.
Richard, don't make it come to the worst.
To think that I actually thought I was in love with that Miss Cressida Harlow.
You got to admit, she does a great job.
Where is she now?
We call her Sergeant Harlow. Did you ever meet a better recruiting sergeant?
You've stated your proposition. The answer is no.
Ah, you're upset. And I understand. But you'll be in shape to listen to reason in a couple of days.
What does she want from you, Richard? I could hear Jeanette's question. It was obvious what she wanted from me. Obvious now. How could such a thing happen to me? I was a foolish middle-aged man looking for a fling. And the tragedy was, I didn't know I was looking. My marriage was ruined. But at least the damage would stop there. Blackmail? How could they hope to blackmail me? By telling my wife? The fools? Didn't they realize I had already lost her? And in the midst of this reverie, the telephone rang. It was the big boss himself. Wanted to see me immediately. Yes, Mr. Darling.
Oh, sit down, Richard. Sit down. Now, what did I want to see you about? Let me look it up here. Sit down, Richard. Sit down. Now, what did I want to see you about? Let me look it up here. Oh, yes, yes. How is Jeanette?
Oh, she's fine.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. She's one of my favorite ladies. There are very few ladies around these days. Lots of women, but very few ladies. Here it is. My note. Tell Richard why I won't hire Jim Demarest.
You won't hire Jim Demarest?
No, Richard, I will not.
Well, you asked me for my recommendation.
I know I did.
He's a first-rate engineer.
I'm sure he is.
But I always hire the men of my department.
You usually do, but we must make an exception in the case of Jim Demarest. I won't have him in my company.
Why, Mr. Darling?
Man has no morals.
What do you mean, sir?
As far as women are concerned. I don't think it's necessary to go into details.
But isn't that Jim Demarest's affair?
No, Richard. He's a married man with children, and he's a notorious rake. Isn't that word still used today? Well, whatever.
But, Mr. Darling, a man's private life...
A man who cheats on his wife cheats. It's part of his makeup. If he cheats her, and he's bound to her by the laws of both the church and the state... Well, that does sound a bit stuffy, I admit. But, well, how else can I put it? At any rate, why shouldn't he cheat me? I'm only his employer.
Mr. Darling, good engineers are very hard to find.
All good men are hard to find. And this is a hard company to work for. We can only do quality work because we have quality employees. Look for men like yourself, Richard. Honest, loyal, sincere people. You understand?
Yes, sir. I understand.
Mind if I join you?
Yes, I do.
I'll even pick up the tab. Ooh, it's a nice little joint here. How's the food?
I told you, I wouldn't have anything to do with your...
Now, let me tell you how it works.
What works?
The switch. You see, you have an attaché case... And we make up one exactly like it. Now, before you leave for the trip, in this case, Paris...
How many times do I have to tell you?
For an engineer, you really can't read diagrams too good. You know that?
What diagrams?
That little pictorial essay.
Show it to my wife. It doesn't matter.
That's not such a good idea. You see, we thought we'd show it to your boss.
To my...
Richard, in all these situations, you always go to the top. That's how to get results.
You can't do that.
He wouldn't fire you right off, Richard. He'd be very disappointed, and at first he'd start cutting your various responsibilities. And after a while, you'd Well, you just have to resign.
What do you want from me?
Just listen. You have this attaché case. When you get off at Orly Field in Paris, there's a newsstand near the gate. You'll see it. Go there. Stop at the counter. Put your attaché case down on the floor. You'll be looking at the newspapers. A man will come over and stand next to you, and he'll have a case just like yours. He'll put it down next to yours. You don't do anything. When he leaves, he'll pick up your case instead of his. Then you pick up his and be on your way.
Paris, I really have no reason to go to Paris.
Find one. We have a customer who has to send some merchandise.
But you can't...
Richard, we've been through it all.
But Paris, I'd have to convince my boss...
Convince him.
Listen, there's one thing you don't seem to take into consideration.
Yeah?
Me. My personality. All right, you can force me to do this, sure. Who would suspect me? No one ever has. That's because every time I travel, I've nothing to hide. But this time, I'll have guilty knowledge. I'll be nervous. I'll excite suspicion.
Well, you just have to stop being nervous.
I can't control that. I might easily be arrested.
Well, that's always possible.
They'll get me to talk.
What can you tell them?
I'll tell them about you.
You don't even know my name.
I could describe you.
I deny it.
But my description used with other information could be just what they need.
That's true. I wouldn't worry about it.
Look, I'm just trying to explain.
Not to worry, Richard. Things will never get that far. If it looks like the cops are getting wise to you, you'd never even get a chance to talk. We'd knock you off first.
And that parting shot certainly had the ring of conviction, didn't it? It doesn't get better for poor Richard, does it? Of course, he could have avoided this entire problem by not speaking to a beautiful stranger in a bar in the first place. But I'm sure he wouldn't appreciate this kind of moralizing. What he needs is a way out. And what we need is a third act, which we shall produce for you in just a few moments.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer-director of the Radio Mystery Theater. When we went on the air with Mystery Theater in 1974, we were delighted to find a whole new audience for our radio dramas. Young people from 7 to 17. You told us by your response that radio drama was a new and thrilling experience. So for you, your family, and for youngsters of every age, I have good news now of a new dramatic series starting February 5th. It's the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. Each Saturday and Sunday, on many of these stations, the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater presents different hour-long dramas of adventure and heroism. Many of the stories will be new and original. Others will be special adaptations of popular books. The well-known actor Tom Bosley will be your host each Saturday and Sunday. It all starts February 5th on the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater on many of these stations.
Now you can keep your battery-operated devices operating without spending a fortune. Right now, True Value Hardware Stores offer Rayovac batteries at a special low price. You can get a package of four Rayovac C or D-size batteries for just 77 cents with a coupon from their Super 7 Circular. So now you can afford to buy the batteries you need for those Christmas gifts that were marked batteries not included, or for the kids' toys that have stopped running. On hand for when the radio or the flashlight stop working. Stock up now on the batteries you need and keep all your battery-operated devices operating. Get the coupon from True Value Hardware Store's Super 7 Circular and get a package of four Rayovac C or D-size batteries for just 77 cents at participating True Value Hardware Stores.
True Value Hardware, it's more than just a name. It's our way of doing business that means true
value. WBBM Chicago.
If I may paraphrase, some men are born thieves, some become thieves, others have thievery thrust upon them. Does it matter if the fault is in our stars or in us? Either way, we pay the price. Paying full price with no hope of rebate or discount is our friend Richard Pomeroy. And all he wanted was just a little female companionship in a bar one night. Well, that sort of thing can become prohibitively expensive.
I walked about in a daze. What was to become of me? I was a fool. But to be punished so severely. At home, things had become unbearable. Jeanette, well, she was so understanding, I could kill her.
Richard.
Why don't you come out with it and tell me you want a divorce?
But I don't want a divorce.
I've been unfaithful to you.
That's true, but is that a reason to divorce you?
I should think you'd be furious.
I am. I was, but...
But what?
Well, I have to be practical.
Practical?
You see, Richard, I can't afford to divorce you. I'm too old. Too old and too insecure to try to be on my own. I'm frightened. At least this way I'm still Mrs. Somebody.
But that's wrong.
Of course. But it's practical.
Practical.
Will you be home to dinner tomorrow?
No.
Where will you be?
Paris.
Paris? But you hardly ever have to go overseas.
I know. It's an emergency at the Paris plant.
Let me come with you. Maybe if we could do more things together...
Well,
What is it, Richard?
I can't have you come with me.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry I asked.
No. It's not what you think. It's not that at all.
Well, then what is it? Well, Richard, tell me.
I can't tell you. Don't ask me. You must never ask me. And so, there was no hope. What kind of misfortune was dogging my footsteps? How much worse could things get? He met me at the airport. Just a few minutes before the plane was scheduled to take off.
Yeah, figured I wouldn't make it, huh? Listen, have you done what I told you?
I think so.
You had a shake case, you got nothing in it? No legit papers you're gonna need for your job?
My case is empty.
Oh, that's good. Because this one I got here, this one that's a dead ringer for yours, this one ain't empty.
What's in it?
Couple of pads, pencils, magazine. And then there's a little compartment on the bottom.
What's in there?
What do you care? The less you know, the less liable you are to blow. Hey, that rhymes. Wow. All right, now let's each put our attaché case on this empty seat. And when we get up, I take your empty case and you take my live one. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yes, and I felt just like the fish. I took his attaché case and boarded the plane. I thought I'd feel terrified, but surprisingly, I felt nothing. Nothing at all. It was only when the plane touched down that I felt a wave of agitation sweep through me. I knew my entire body was trembling as I approached the customs counter. The officer was a tall, fat man with small eyes and a mean look on his face. He permitted some people to just pass him by. But he looked at me and he made me stop. Bad sign. Could it be my manner? Was he suspicious? He nodded at me to open my baggage. The suitcase, I knew, was safe. And that inspection took less than a minute, but then he said...
The attaché case, monsieur.
The attaché case.
If monsieur will not object...
Object? Well, why should I object? I mean, if I were to object, it would automatically mean that I was hiding something, wouldn't it?
It could also mean that Monsieur is a fool.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome to search this thing as thoroughly as possible.
No, you may pass, Monsieur.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. What was the matter with me? I was so nervous, I couldn't stop jabbering. This particular customs officer took me for a fool. But another might really become suspicious. I almost forgot what I was supposed to do. And then I remembered. I walked over to the newsstand, pretended to be interested in some foreign papers. I was becoming more and more frightened. Suddenly, I became aware of a voice in my ear.
Put that case down, down on the floor. You're holding it in your hand.
And so I was, not just holding it, but gripping it, clutching it, hanging on to it as if my life depended on it. I forced myself to relax my grip. I was aware of a man in a raincoat with a hat pulled over his eyes. He placed his case down on the floor.
Shape up, buddy, or you'll never get out of this racket alive.
He picked up my attaché case, leaving me his. Finally, I was able to pick his up and get out of there as fast as I could. That was my first delivery. And it was successful. At least once or twice a month, there were other deliveries. And although my face might have been composed and relaxed, each time I became more and more frightened. I didn't know how to escape.
The great attaché case mystery.
What did you say, Jeanette?
I've decided to do something in my old age. I've decided to write mystery stories.
Mystery stories?
Why not? The best of them seem to be written by mature ladies.
Well, what's this about an attaché case?
Perhaps I should have said your attaché case.
What about it?
Well, I notice each time you return from a trip, you have a different one.
A different what?
A different attaché case. Well, they all look more or less the same, but not to me. You see, there are minute differences in size, in shade, in the amount of wear. Very trivial differences, but obvious to me. Ask me why. Go ahead.
Why?
I look at you very closely, Richard. I have nothing else to do. So I sit and I speculate. Where is he going and what is he doing? And at night, when you're asleep, that is, the night's your home, I sneak downstairs and examine those briefcases.
Jeanette!
Each briefcase has a secret compartment.
Jeanette!
And so, I could only deduce that my husband is engaged in smuggling.
How did you ever figure that?
I'll be honest. Actually, you talk in your sleep.
Oh.
Darling. Darling, let me help
you. No one can help me. Oh, Jeanette, I'm so frightened. There are times when I could die of fright. You don't know what it is. Each time I carry that attaché case, I think I'll get a heart attack. Sooner or later, I'll be picked up and go to jail. I'll be disgraced for life. That is, if those people don't kill me first.
Let me help you.
Help me? How can you help me?
We'll go to the police.
No! Don't you think I thought of that? What good would it do?
We could explain how you were trapped. In return for your cooperation, you'd be set free. It would probably never even be publicized.
They can't help me. Even if I get some of them arrested, they could still make sure that Mr. Darling sees those pictures.
What pictures?
I didn't talk about those in my sleep, did I?
No.
They're pictures of me, photographs of me with that woman.
Oh.
And so now, I don't suppose...
I'll save you, Richard.
Jeanette... Anything I say, it sounds so stupid. But I love you. I've been stupid and I have been selfish.
I know.
But I love you. I haven't really shown it lately.
That's true.
What are we going to do? How are we...
Let me do this, Richard. I have to do it alone.
Do what alone?
I'm going to the police.
Before I knew what she was doing... She was out of the house. I didn't know what to think. Was she just playing with me? Was she going to turn me in? Was that to be her revenge? Now, why did I even think that? But still, after the way I treated her,
Would she save me? I don't know how long I kept pushing it all around, but after a while she came home.
It's fixed.
Fixed? What do you mean, fixed?
As far as you're concerned, it's all over.
Over? Just like that?
It will be over after your next job.
How?
You're not to ask. Just do the same thing you always do.
But what's going to happen?
You'll see.
And I saw. I met him at the airport, as usual, and we chatted, as usual. And then, after each of us had set his attaché case on an empty chair...
I must say, Richard, you're getting to be an old-timer.
Is that so?
Cool. That's you.
Oh, really?
First couple of times, I thought we were going to lose you. But you're like good wine, pal. You're mellow with age. You better beat it. You'll miss your plane.
I picked up the wrong briefcase, as usual. And just as I walked away, I turned around to look. I saw some men suddenly converge on him. And they just hustled him out of the terminal. The men did look like police, and I became frightened. Was this how Jeanette would help me? How would this stop them from sending the pictures to Mr. Darling? I worried about it all the way to Paris. And there at the newsstand, I set the attaché case down on the ground. And as usual, the man in the raincoat was waiting. And he picked up my attaché case. He hadn't gone 10 feet when a couple of gendarmes grabbed him. Jeanette.
Oh, Richard, darling, you're home.
Oh, do you know what happened? Both those men, they were arrested.
That's right.
Well, how does that help me? Mr. Darling is definitely going to receive those photographs.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Do you know what that means?
Yes.
He'll kick me out. He won't tolerate that kind of conduct.
I don't think he will.
How can you say that? You know Mr. Darling.
Mr. Darling has just received a letter from the police.
A letter?
I made sure of that. In which he is told that an attempt would be made to blackmail you. Certain photographs would be shown to him.
Now he's going to get it from both sides.
You see, he will be told that you were doing undercover work for the police. And that these pictures were made during the line of duty.
Oh.
And he is not to even mention it to you in any way.
Richard? You sent for me, Mr. Darling?
Yes. Richard, I think it's splendid that a private citizen, a civilian, should go out of his way to assist the authorities in undercover activities.
Sir?
No, I'm not supposed to say anything about it, but I want you to know that I appreciate what you've done for law and order and morality.
Thank you, sir.
And there the matter must rest. Undercover activities, indeed. I should tell you that Richard and Jeanette lived happily ever after. Richard made that one mistake, and he paid for it. And if some of you think he should have paid more, well, what is it they say about those who reside in glass houses? I shall be back in a few moments.
The 1977 Buick Regal. It comes with Buick's terrific V6 engine. It carries 6 people and lots of Buick comfort. It's lean, it's maneuverable in city traffic. It's the most luxurious mid-size car Buick builds. Yeah, this new Regal is pretty much everything a car should be, except for one thing. It isn't yours yet, but it can be. Just see your Buick dealer for a test drive soon.
Wonderful baby, living on love. The Sandman says maybe he'll take you above.
Child abuse kills at least 2,000 children a year. For more information about child abuse and how you can help, write Prevent Child Abuse, Box 2866, Chicago, Illinois, 60690. A public service message of this station, the Advertising Council, and the National Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse.
At the beginning.
has been a story about everyday people, non-heroes, people who have no great talent or ability, people who just get along as best they can from day to day, people who have virtues and vices, who range midway between the sinner and the saint. In short, people very much like you and me. Our cast included Mason Adams, E.D. Juster, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I'm a cop.
A cop? Yeah, you push a pencil in an office. You're a clerk.
I love you.
But I don't love you.
Why?
I don't even like you.
Why?
Because you give me the creeps.
My face gives you the creeps, huh?
Now you're talking.
I'm ugly, huh? I'm the ugliest man you ever seen, huh?
In spades. I can get a nightmare just looking at you.
All right. Would you like to never see my face anymore?
Oh, that'd be asking too much.
I can arrange for you never to see me again. Never. You'll never see anybody's face anymore.
Please don't. No, not with a knife. Please.
You'll never see anybody's face again. Even the handsome ones, never.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and General Electric. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
President Walter Mondale has left Japan for home via Alaska. Before his departure, he told the Japanese that the United States will gradually withdraw its ground troops from South Korea, but will not turn its back on Asia. I'm Mitchell Krause, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mondale said he did not know what the troop withdrawal schedule would be, but he added that the U.S. would probably step up its military aid to Seoul when the troops were withdrawn. Mondale spent much of Tuesday meeting with Japanese Prime Minister Takeo Fukuda. Among the topics under discussion, landing rights for Japanese airlines in the United States, concern over the effect of the 200-mile fishing limit off the U.S. coastline still under negotiation, and the economic recovery rates of Japan and the United States. Final congressional approval and possibly a presidential signature is expected within the next 24 hours for the Emergency Natural Gas Allocation and Pricing Bill. The measure was approved by the Senate Monday night. House action, perhaps on the Senate version, is likely Tuesday. Only two senators opposed the bill, despite the feeling of many that some gas was being withheld by producers in order to obtain a higher price. As for the continuing winter blitz, bitter cold is still the rule in much of the eastern half of the country, with the death toll now more than 75. Many deaths attributed to heavy snow conditions, which stranded motorists in upstate New York and Ohio. The Buffalo, New York area still is in the grip of the worst winter of the century, with drifting snow obliterating efforts of local, state, and National Guard emergency workers attempting to keep vital arteries open. And Mayor Carl Burns of Watertown, New York, says his city is in bad shape.
There are certain areas in the city and county that we just can't get the snow removed. It's drifts are up to 10 to 14 feet high, and when the equipment does go through and remove the snow, it would drift right back in behind it. So there are areas that's very, very difficult.
A look at some of the trouble tankers are having after this.
Kraft macaroni and cheese is the good cook's way to make ends meet.
I'm a good cook, at least that's what they tell me, and I must say we eat good. Nothing fancy, but like I say, I never get any complaints about my cooking. Kraft macaroni and cheese dinner, I usually serve that Wednesday night, and they like it. Everybody likes it. The cheese sauce is good and hearty, and it gives me a good feeling to know Kraft made it. Because with my family, I just don't like the idea of cutting corners. Look at it this way. Where else can you find something you feel so good about putting on the table? And it only costs about 11 cents a serving.
Kraft macaroni and cheese is the good cook's way.
You know, my mama's a good cook, too.
The recent rash of accidents involving oil tankers has led to government action. Transportation Secretary Brock Adams has ordered the owners of all tankers operating in U.S. waters to equip them with sophisticated navigational and safety devices.
This is a first step of what will be a continuing process and an elevation of the Marine presence in the department. So we're closely coordinated with the Coast Guard and those that are day-to-day handling the regulations.
The shipping industry has until April 1st to make comments on the new rules. The Rhodesian government reports that several hundred black children and their Lutheran mission teachers were kidnapped by guerrillas from the mission inside Rhodesia Monday and forced to march across the border into Botswana. Chris Morton visited the scene.
We were told by witnesses the children were attending evening prayer at the Manama mission when rounded up at gunpoint by four guerrillas. A fifth man held up the principal and took from him the equivalent of $21,000 in school fees. With the children were five teachers, two nurses, and a black clergyman. After being rounded up, they were forced to run for the border about 17 miles away. The clergyman later escaped, as did four of the students. A week ago, nearly 200 men, women, and children were abducted from villages only 10 miles from the mission. The Manama students were aged between 12 and 21. Police say it's almost certain they were taken for guerrilla training under the leadership of black nationalist leader Joshua Nkomo, whose home is about 50 miles from the mission. Chris Morton, 4CBS News, Salisbury.
If your child throws away the lunch you send to school each day, send Wonder Kids Feed It Up. If he fiddles with the middle, then throws the bread away, send Wonder Kids Eat It Up.
Kids know what bread they want to eat. Wonder. There are cheaper breads, but they're not always as fresh and soft the way kids like bread.
When you send a lunch to school, make this the daily rule. Send Wonder.
Kids eat it up.
Hello, food fans. Dunny Bracken here. We got a savory soup recipe for you tomorrow on Meet the Cook, heard Monday through Saturday here on CBS. A friendly food and beverage expert Don Fitzgerald has been rattling the pots and pans and dipping in the cooking sherry with a soup spoon.
Denny, it's an old French tradition. A little wine goes a long way in a bowl of soup. Just a teaspoon per serving can enhance almost any soup.
Oh, I can't resist. So tomorrow, come to the Cabernet Consommé on Meet the Cook here on CBS.
The Internal Revenue Service is conducting an audit of former Vice President Agnew's 1973 tax return. Though there's no indication yet that Agnew did anything illegal in regard to that year's taxes, Federal Judge John Pratt has ordered Agnew's lawyers to produce their file copy of a bill sent Agnew for legal services held between 1967 and 1972. The lawyers had contended the bill was a privileged document. Mitchell Krause, CBS News.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Good evening, everyone. We're back in Chicago on News Radio 78. This is Alan Bickley, and the weather outlook for tonight, fair and cold, with lows from 10 near the lake to 0 to 5 above in the suburbs of Chicago. Sunny tomorrow and again Wednesday. Tomorrow's high in the low 20s. The Wednesday night low, 10 to 15 degrees, and a high on Wednesday in the mid to upper 20s. At Midway Airport, it's 11 degrees, 13 at O'Hare Field, 15 on the lakefront. Not in DuPage County, the temperature now 10 degrees. The humidity 63%, wind west 15 miles an hour, and the wind chill index is 17 below. Bit of information about Chicago's weather in January of this year. The average temperature was 10 and one-tenths degrees, and that breaks the old record of 11 and nine-tenths degrees in January of 1912. So it's Chicago's coldest month ever. Heating degree day units were 1,684, the old record 1,646. That was set in 1912. On 17 days, the minimum temperature was below zero, and that breaks the old record of 15 days from January of 1963. That information from the National Weather Service in Chicago. In the news, to no one's surprise, the city's Democratic leaders have endorsed acting Mayor Michael Belandic for the special mayoral primary. Bob Crawford has the story.
As he walked into the crowded hearing room, Mayor Belandic was greeted with a standing, cheering ovation reminiscent of the daily years, a clear sign that the behind-the-scenes draft he had helped engineer had worked. And it wasn't long before Belandic was dropping his declarations of non-candidacy and confirming Chicago's worst-kept political secret, that he wanted to be the machine's choice for mayor.
Working together, we can make this a bigger, better, and more important city. So therefore, I'm here today to seek your endorsement for the office of mayor.
After a marathon series of endorsement speeches, 38 in all, Belandic coasted to easy victory, winning the support of 47 of the city organization's 50 committeemen. Then, in the leave-nothing-to-chance spirit of his predecessor, he pledged to wage a tough and vigorous primary campaign. This is Bob Crawford.
The WBBM News Time, 11:32. George Dunham of the Warren Woody Agency of the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States knows life insurance. Call him at 321-7546.
Seasons keep on changing and friends are rearranging. Today is becoming such a part of the past. You've got to look to the things that last for all those plans of your own. Someone's gonna be there. Avondale, we'll be with you tomorrow.
Until you hear what's happening now at Avondale Savings. Now there's now. NOW, negotiable order of withdrawal. It's like having a checking account at your savings and loan. Stop in at Avondale and find out what's happening now. We've been helping folks since 1911, and now we can help you even more.
It was all a day's work for daredevil motorcyclist Evel Knievel. Knievel was the feature attraction of the CBS television thrill spectacular broadcast live this evening. Knievel had promoters sold on the idea of jumping a tank full of sharks on a motorcycle, of course. He took a practice run earlier in the afternoon, cleared the tank all right, but then crashed into a retaining wall, slightly injuring a cameraman and injuring himself more seriously. Len Walter reports.
Doctors say Knievel is resting comfortably at Chicago's Michael Reese Hospital. He broke his right arm and left collarbone, and he has internal bleeding in his left leg. Doctors are watching that closely. The internationally known stuntman lost control of his motorcycle during a practice jump over a tank full of sharks at Chicago's International Amphitheater. Later in his hospital room, I asked him why he decided to make that practice jump.
The jump was so dangerous that I just really couldn't bring myself to going and doing it cold turkey. I'm supposed to be a professional, and I felt that the best thing to do is kind of try and make a shorter jump at slower speed to see if I could get through it and then take what was coming to me later. But I got what was coming to me, I guess, first.
Dr. Sakeneva will undergo surgery on his arm at least. This is Len Walter.
Despite his injuries, Knievel says he'll be jumping again soon. His reported fee for the stunt, by the way, was $500,000. Three men have died in an extra alarm fire at the Pacific Hotel on 40 North Halsted Street. The men have been identified as 70-year-old George Kuhn, 66-year-old Eugene Riemann, and 50-year-old T.J. Whitefield. The fire started on the second floor, the cause not determined. An American Red Cross spokesman says the owner of the hotel is housing Pacific Hotel residents in another building, which he owns. A fire caused extensive damage to a Chicago landmark, which is said to be one of the only surviving examples of the Greek Revival style in the city. The fire started in the basement of the St. Paul Church of God at 4526 South Wabash. The building originally was known as the Henry B. Clark House. It was built in 1836. Chicago architect Wilbert Hasbrook says the building was moved to its present location to protect it from fire.
It was one of the first to be designated a landmark of Chicago.
Has it been a private residence all through its history, or is it...
No, it was not. It got its name from the widow of Mr. Clark, who built the house, and the widow Clark then lived in it until about, late 1860s, when she sold the house. It was originally located at 16th and Michigan Avenue, and after the Great Chicago Fire, the first Chicago Fire, it was moved to its present location so that it would not catch fire.
No one was injured in the blaze. A series of recommendations to head off an energy crisis in Illinois were proposed today by the State Chamber of Commerce. The suggestions emerged from what the organization billed as a summit conference on energy called last week. Among the recommendations, the group would relax sulfur dioxide standards for fuels, allow coal to be substituted for natural gas on a short-term basis, relax environmental requirements for using afterburners, and set up a central office to exchange emergency information. The group said it will oppose any long-term sharing of Illinois natural gas with other states, saying the state should not be penalized for having developed a system of meeting energy shortages. Those attending the meeting were representatives of the governor's office and state environmental agencies, along with representatives of 25 major industries and several utilities. Chicago School Superintendent Joseph Hannon says he will ask for emergency aid from the state or federal governments to help pay the school's heating bill. School officials have told Hannon the cost of heating and electricity may exceed the anticipated expense by $23 million. Hannon says the schools have turned down their thermostats as far as possible without breaking the city's regulations on minimum heating requirements for schools. The Northern Indiana Public Service Company says its 2,500 industrial customers will continue to receive reduced supplies of natural gas throughout February. The businesses are receiving just enough fuel to prevent their equipment from freezing. John Cody has details.
NIPSCO Public Information Director James Purcell says the natural gas will continue at normal levels to stores, hospitals, and homes. The reductions to plant maintenance gas levels will be only for industry.
Well, some of our principal customers are the steel companies such as Inland and U.S. Steel and American Maize Products Company and various other. We have a total of 2,500 industrial customers throughout the northern third of the state.
One of those companies affected, U.S. Steel in Gary, where Representative Harold Corsett says the gas reduction means a reduction in the output of finished steel.
Well, we have several hundred to 1,000 people on layoff at the present time, and I'm sure this will continue as long as we're on this plant protection level with the natural gas.
Corsett says, however, that the reduction should not lead to any hike in the price of steel when production is resumed. I'm John Cody.
The Senate has voted to give President Carter emergency authority to reallocate natural gas supplies. The vote was 91-2. Carter had asked the Congress to allow him to allocate gas among interstate pipelines so the fuel will get to the areas which need it most. He also wants to allow interstate pipelines to buy gas from unregulated and therefore more costly sources. Senator Charles Percy says the emergency authority is limited.
The authority is limited. It limits it to high-purpose users, that is, residents, commercial establishments, and whenever the president determines that they would endanger life, health, and maintenance of physical property not to provide fuel, obviously, we'll make certain that the president adheres to the law. But I haven't any doubt whatsoever that the president will carry this out effectively and well.
The House Commerce Committee has approved its version of the bill, which includes an amendment to limit the price that would be charged when federal price controls are suspended. The WBBM News Time, 11:40.
In 1840, a violent earthquake rocked Turkey. A government expedition discovered a giant wooden ship high atop Mount Ararat. In 1952, George Green took the first photographs. And in 1969, Fernand Navarra brought back 5,000-year-old wood, proving the ship's existence. Could it be Noah's Ark? Find out. See the startling motion picture, In Search of Noah's Ark, rated G. Now showing at a theater near you. Check your local paper for showtimes. Don't miss In Search of Noah's Ark.
From Sun Classic Pictures. Speaking of books in just a moment. If you're the parent of a 7 to 10-year-old, here's an opportunity to do something very special that your child will appreciate for years to come. Take advantage of this special introductory offer to Cricket Magazine and help your child discover the pure enjoyment and pleasure of good reading. Cricket is full of laughter and knowledge of all the things that excite and challenge young minds. Every month, Cricket brings a parade of could-have-been or might-be-someday stories, along with magic tricks, puzzles, and dozens of other delicious odds and ends of fact and fancy that 7 to 10-year-olds love. To encourage you to find out just how good a children's magazine can be, Cricket is offering this no-obligation 9-month subscription for only $8.97. If the first issue doesn't convince you and your young reader that Cricket is the very best children's magazine around, then the first issue is yours to keep free, and you will owe not a penny. To order, call 800-243-5000 and tell the operator you want to order Cricket's 9-month subscription for $8.97. The number to call toll-free is 800-243-5000. 800-243-5000.
It's a comfort to some of us to learn that a man could spend the first 50 years of his life virtually doing nothing and then leap into becoming one of the greatest statesmen of his age. The man is William Lamb, the second Viscount Melbourne, and his remarkable feat is described in Melbourne, a biography by the British writer Philip Ziegler. Well, the partial secret of Lord Melbourne's success was that he was a gentleman of leisure in that age of genteel leisure, the 18th and early 19th century England. Today, if Melbourne rings a bell at all, it's because we studied English poetry somewhere and remembered that the great English poet, Lord Byron, had a scandalous affair with Melbourne's wife, Lady Caroline. But that adventure is hardly more than a footnote in his biography. Indeed, Ziegler's purpose is more realistic. He wants to challenge a traditional understanding of Melbourne as a person, as a politician. While Melbourne may have been one of the most delightful, wise, and entertaining of men, Ziegler sees him, as others have not, as ambitious, cynical, and almost wholly without political principle. Now, that kind of person is always interesting to read about. And Ziegler makes his biography even more interesting by embellishing it with a generous slice of 19th century English life. I suppose the book will be most rewarding to the reader who knows something of English politics and who is not bored by the numerous little details that may seem trite to us now. But Lord Melbourne was one of Britain's greatest prime...